Well, the passage of Scripture tonight, continuing in Psalm 119, is Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. Psalm 119, 33 through 40. Hey, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. The title of my sermon to you tonight is The Me, My Prayers. And I call this Me, My Prayers, and with this title, you might think this is a sermon that's against selfish or self-centered prayers. But that's not what it's about. These are the prayers that we should pray for ourselves. That it's okay, sometimes it's okay to pray for yourself, to pray for me, to pray for my needs, for what I need. And this is an example of one of those times where it's okay. I don't think there is any coincidence that these me, my prayers, as I call them, follow immediately in the footsteps of the psalmist's previous promise. At the end of what I preached on last week, verse 32, he says, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. And I remember as a younger man hearing Rocky music from the movie Rocky, da 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 da. And when I'd hear that music, I would not feel like dancing. I'd feel like running and exercising and getting in physical shape. And sometimes preaching can be that way. You hear a good sermon or there's something you read in the Word, and then you're all excited to do everything right for God, to be a spiritual runner in a way. And when you do that, maybe you do go out running or do something like that spiritually. And I know if I were to go out running today, being as heavy as I am, I would go a few steps. Maybe I'd be psyched up and I'd go 5 or 10 steps and then I'd start feeling how heavy I am and how heavy my weight is. And then I'd start really, really praying. And I believe this is what the psalmist is doing here. He says at the end of what was last week, I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. That was his true desire. And I believe he started to do that. And as he's starting to do that, he realizes he needs to pray more. He knows he has more weaknesses. And that's where I think this passage leads us today. It leads us to that point when we start doing what God wants us to, and we start realizing as we do it that we need to pray even more. We need even more help than we thought we did. And here's the me, my prayers. They start with, number one, teach me. Teach me. This is one that should be familiar to all of you ladies here because we've had been in Christ in the school of prayer with our Lord Jesus Christ, with Christ in the school of prayer. Here in the Old Testament, the psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Note, as soon as he tries to start doing God's commands, he knows he needs a teacher or a coach, someone who's going to help him to do this, somebody who's going to teach him the right way. This is the same thing, like I said, we've been studying with Christ in the school of prayer, and one of the verses that I believe that's based on is Luke 11:1, when it says, "Now it came to pass, as when he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" That disciple saw Jesus praying, and he was praying in such a way that that disciple admired him a great deal. And as he sees it, he says, "I need to learn to pray like Jesus prays." And so he asks him that question, "Lord, teach us to pray." He wants the best teacher. And the best teacher is the Lord. Note what he desires to learn here in Psalm 119:33. He says, "Teach me the way of your statutes." And I think this is a very interesting thing that he wanted to learn, because who's the one that's writing this whole psalm about God's statutes, about God's laws? He's the one that's writing it, and he's the, you could say, the human expert on it. But why is he a human expert? Because he's asking the Lord himself to teach me. Those who know the most that they need to learn more and more. The more we know from the Lord and the Word, the more we want the Lord to teach us. And the more we know we need the Lord to teach us. Note also in this, his confidence. He says, "Teach me the way of your statutes," and he says, "and I shall keep it to the end." I believe this is confidence, not self-confidence, because if it were self-confidence, he wouldn't be praying. He wouldn't need to pray. But he has confidence in God. He has confidence because he has a great teacher. He says, "Teach me the way of your statutes, and then I will keep it to the end." We see something similar in Philippians. When Paul writes to the Philippians, he says to them in Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus." The psalmist was confident that he would keep God's statutes. Why? Because he knew he had the best teacher who helps him. That was God himself. Paul is confident that the Philippians will stay faithful to the Lord. Why? Because of him, meaning Jesus, of him, meaning God, who began a good thing in them, who would continue it to the end. If we start with God, and God is our teacher, we can be confident that he will bring us to a happy ending. But this isn't all that he prays. He prays first, "Teach me." And then secondly, in verse 34, he prays, "Give me." First he prays, "Teach me," and then "Give me." Now those are some selfish prayers, aren't they? "Teach me, give me." But they're good selfish prayers. They're prayers that are to help him walk with God. He says, "Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Give me understanding. Here the psalmist shows that he knows his teacher is not an ordinary teacher. Every teacher can teach, and every preacher can preach, but only God can give you understanding. You know, if I preach today, I can't guarantee that anybody is going to really understand everything I say, but God can make sure everybody understands. God can do that, especially with the Word of God. God is the one who has the power, not just with me or not just with the psalmist. Even John the Baptist says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John the Baptist could baptize in water. I can baptize in water. Almost every pastor can baptize in water. But only Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. Only Jesus can make our walk with God, our reading of Scripture, our anything we do for God real. He's the one that has the power to do that. He's the one that's able to give us understanding. He's able to do that. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." There are some things, and most things in Scripture, people can read them again and again and again and not get them. But the Spirit can open our eyes to them, and then we see them. Just like John Newton saying, "I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." And you could read the same thing over and over and over again in the Word. Unless you have the Spirit opening up your eyes, you're not going to see that. Paul, in his prayers, prays for understanding of the things of God. They must be prayed for and they must be given. It says in Ephesians 1, 16 through 18, Paul is talking about praying for the Ephesians, and he says, "Making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Those were Christians he's speaking to and writing to, who already had some understanding and knew something about the Word, but Paul prayed that God would enlighten them even more, that he would open their eyes even more. And so the psalmist, his second prayer is, after "teach me, give me understanding." And so God not only teaches, but God puts the very understanding into our minds and our hearts so that we understand the Word. What is the third "me, my" prayer? The third "me, my" prayer is in verse 35. Make me is the prayer. "Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it." Note here what seems to be a humbler position. In verse 32, he was talking about running in God's commandments, and now he's asking God to make him walk. It's a humbler position. Before, he was sure he was going to run. Now he needs God's help just to walk. Also, I think here it shows him giving up some of his control. He's saying, "Make me walk in the path of your commandments. Make sure I go that way. Even if I would go astray on my own, make me." Almost like he's saying, "Force me." Asking God to help that way. He's giving up control. Or like a child whose father helps him swing a bat. A little 5-year-old boy, he's saying, "Make me hit the ball, Daddy." And what he means is Daddy's going to come behind him when he's swinging the bat, and Big Brother is pitching, and he's got the little boy's arm, and he's helping the boy hit it. And with his father's arms around him, he hits it a lot farther. And with God's help, we walk in God's commandments a lot better. "Make me walk in the path of your commandments." He's there walking with us. He's making sure we don't go one way or the other. And that's what this psalmist is praying for. He says, "Make me walk in that path." In this way, he's also like the sheep who needs the guidance and leading of the shepherd. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Here the psalmist is like a sheep. We don't like to be sheep. I don't know. I mean, we as Christians do, but people in general, you say you're a sheep, they think you're insulting them. I'm not a sheep. I go my own way. I have my own strength. When you say somebody's a sheep, what does it mean? It means they follow and they do everything somebody else says. And it's thought of as a derogatory thing. But in Scripture, if you're following the Lord, that's the right way to go. And he says, make me follow in your commandments. Make me to do this. I want to follow. I want to be. There's a song, I just want to be a sheep. Ba, ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba, ba. That's what we are supposed to be. And it may be a very humble, humble thing to be a sheep. But Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And they go where he tells them to go. The fourth me, my prayer is in verse 36. He says, incline my heart. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. This prayer has two parts. He says, incline my heart. Make me desire to go this way to your testimonies and not to covetousness. If this is David, David had already done that, hadn't he? He went the way of coveting his neighbor's wife, and that led to adultery and it led to murder. I don't know for sure if this is David, but if he's the one that is writing this, it seems he's learned his lesson. He's saying, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. We have a song in our hymnal that goes along with this prayer. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thy own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Do we know when we're singing that we're praying something similar to when the psalmist says, incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness? If our heart is God's royal throne, our prayers will be like Jesus taught us. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If our lives are characterized by covetousness, our prayers will be, my kingdom come and my will be done. This, even though it's a me, my prayer, it's not a selfish prayer because it's asking to be guided in God's ways and inclined towards his testimonies and in a way that's away from covetousness and sin. John Bunyan said, the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. One way or the other. If you spend your time in God's word and you love God's word, you're less likely to sin. If you're spending all your time sinning, you're less likely to really read and understand the scripture. Fifthly, the fifth my prayer, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. Worthless, the Hebrew word is shav, or shav. It means empty or emptiness, vanity, falsehood, nothingness, worthlessness. Worthless things are not always even obviously wicked things. They're just worthless. Keep my eyes away from looking at worthless things, things that waste my time, things that do not glorify you, God. Turn away my eyes from those things. And then he says, revive me in your way. The second half, 37b, 119:37b, revive me in your way. And then in verse 40, he says, behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. And so twice in this psalm, he asked to be revived. Revive me in your way and revive me in your righteousness. And to be revived means to be woke up, to be re-energized, to be made to energetic again. And why does he ask that prayer? Well, we tend to be sluggish. We tend to be sleepy about the things of God. We tend to be sluggish in his ways and in his righteousness. And it's a high calling to pray and stay with Jesus, to be right and revived. Jesus' apostles were revived, weren't they? They were praying with Jesus. Jesus was fervently praying in Gethsemane, and they were right there all around him, sleeping while he was praying. And it says in Matthew 26, 40 and 41, "Then he came to the disciples and found them asleep and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.'" Jesus gave Peter some credit. He said, "The spirit is willing. I know you're willing. That's why you're here, Peter, and that's why James and John are with you. But the flesh is weak." I think that's true of almost all of us who are true Christians. We have a spirit we want to go, but oftentimes our flesh, it slows us down. It keeps us from doing everything we would do for the Lord. Last of the Me, My prayers is establish. Verse 38, he prays, "Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you." Establish, the word in Hebrew is kum. It means to cause to stand, to set, to station, establish. And he's saying, not that he would be established, but he's saying, "Establish your word to your servant." Meaning he wanted God's word established to him, in front of him, always. So it would be set there in front of him. And when I thought of this, I thought the psalmist, he's wanting God's word always to be in front of him. And I thought of a dog in a dog race, a greyhound. And what do the greyhounds have in front of them when they're racing? There's that rabbit that's in front of them, or the mechanical rabbit. And what does it do? It's always running in front of them. So they're always running after it. And it makes them go faster. It makes them go better. And here the psalmist is saying, "I want your word always in front of me. Don't let it ever get not in front of me. I want it there. If I go this way, I want you to put your word there. And if I run this way, I want your word right in front of me. I don't want, if I turn my head backwards, I want you to have your word there so that I can't get away from it." That's what he's praying that God would do for him. Establish his word for him, to him. And it's a wonderful prayer to pray. Do we want that prayer? Do we want God's word always in front of us so that we keep his commandments? He says, "Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you." That was his desire. He was devoted, but he knew he was weak. He knew he needed to be revived. He needed God to teach him. He needed God to give him understanding. He needed God to incline his heart to the right ways. He needed God to keep him from covetousness. And he needed God to establish the word in front of him. And these are things we can pray to God for ourselves. And we're not being selfish when we pray these Me, My prayers. Well, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage that speaks to us about your word and shows us honestly from this psalmist's point of view. He would run in your commandments, but he needs your help to walk in your commandments. And Father, that's true of us. As Jesus taught us, without him we can do nothing. Without you we can do nothing. We need your help. We need you to teach us. We need you to give us understanding. We need you to revive us in your way. We need you to incline us to your testimonies. And Father, we need you to establish your word to us. All these things we need your help with, and many more. And so, Father, we pray you'd help us with all these things. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.